Yeah.
You mean? It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, vice president and general manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Right. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 is the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushu Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Back to drinking.
Yeah.
Short opening there.
Yeah, I used the short one. I wasn't sure what. Anyway, 77 degrees here in Zephyr Hills, Florida. Partly cloudy. No freezing. We're done.
No, we're done. I moved my pineapple plants back outside.
And the armadillos, are they doing okay at your place?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, those things are just, I don't know.
They really
don't
tear up the place.
They do. They really do. They just, you know, all you people not from Florida, armadillos are not born dead on the side of the road.
No.
They are actually.
If you can pull night watch at Florida State's winery, let us know.
Just let us know. Bring in the shotgun. Right. I'll tell you. It's just, they're tearing up the yard there, though. It's just unbelievable.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you don't mind them turning up the yard, they get rid of all the bugs and everything, but still.
Maybe it's their version of irrigation. Maybe they're actually helping, you know, the water and all that kind of stuff drain into the soil.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll look at it that way, and then that way I won't be quite as mad at them.
And as a disclaimer, no animals were harmed in the making of this broadcast, so I just want to throw that out there, just in case. You never know. Welcome to the program. It is February 21st. There we go. I had to pull up a calendar. It's Thursday, and this is All About Wine. We'd love to have you call the program. We know there's live listeners out there because those numbers keep growing. We appreciate it, as well as the many archive listeners. There's thousands of you out there. We appreciate that. If you are listening to us live, please give us a call. Get on the
and we will call you, and that would be a free call.
Yeah, we can. You know, yeah. If you want to do it that way, we can just send your phone number to us and say you want to get on the program. Email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's the best way, and we can actually call you, and you can save your, you know, 25 cents, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you're done. Yeah. Just give us a number to call and tell us what you want to talk about. We'll call you back. So do that.
Yeah.
Do it now. Do it.
Do it now.
Yeah. Here's the program.
And all of a sudden, the lights. we're going to just talk about stuff tonight. I try to get guests. Let me explain to you about guests. I was talking to Mike and told him about this earlier, but I have to share this with everyone out there. Try to get a hold of guests. Last week we were talking about wines in Myanmar. The Red Mountain Estate Vineyards and Winery in Myanmar. Myanmar is Burma over in that part of the world. India, Bangladesh, Thailand, up around those areas there. They have a winery called Red Mountain Estate Vineyards and Winery. And we talked about this last week. We talked about it. If you want no more information, actually, I'm going to tell you more about it here anyway. But becoming a very popular winery within the borders of Myanmar, Red Mountain Estate. We found their website, looked up their email addresses, and we thought, what a great thing to do. Let's see if we can't get them on the program. Because we can call the first one. I just, you know, copied each one. Next time, I sent all three of them another one, separate emails. And I didn't get anything back within an hour. And I said, well, good. Maybe these went through. And the next morning, I checked the emails, and all three of them had been returned again. So I thought, well, I'll call them because they had phone numbers here. Now, this is an international call, and I'm not real sure, but, you know, you dial the area code and you dial the country, and they had all the information here. And so I called, and there was no answer. And there's, like, a lot of numbers here. I mean, there's, like, mobile numbers, and there's telephone numbers and all that. I tried to call again using different ones, and I was not getting answered. Now, I don't know if it's not responding to calls from the United States, or if there is a block, or if there was issues with the hookup throughout the world. I have no idea. But for some reason or another, I could never get a hold of any person or get a response from any person from Red Mountain Estate Vineyards and Winery in Myanmar. So, you know, I'll try again. I'll see if we can, you know, eventually get a hold of them. It was rather frustrating. Their website, great little website, a lot of information, everything on it. They have a bunch of great pictures, beautiful pictures and all that. Their wines, they have, especially Pinot Noir, a tough grape to grow. The white wine, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, they have a late harvest wine made with the 60% Muscat Petite Grain, which I'm sure it's just a form of the Muscat, and 40% Sauvignon Blanc, 27 bricks at harvest. Very, very sweet wine. I'd like to have talked to them about that more. They have also a rosé, a light rosé, and they also have themselves fortified wines. Just two of them, they have a white Muscat fortified and a red Tawny, which is, I'm sure, a port style. But they have the fortified wines. And so, you know, it's if possible, I'd like to get a hold of them. I'd like to be able to talk to them. I'd like to see what they're doing, how they're growing these grapes, about the winemaker, all that stuff. So if I'm not going to give up, we'll try some more. We'll see if we can't get a hold of them again, see if we can't get to find out some more with them, all that. I would really love to talk to them. If anybody out there has any suggestions of how to get a hold of, a winery in Myanmar, then I'll be more than happy to entertain your suggestions, because I am starting to become baffled on this. Scato d'Asti, as well as Prosecco, which is a sparkling wine, are expected to continue to gain momentum next year, or actually this year, through the year. The sparkling wines are showing up on more menus across the country. So start looking for the sparkling wines, especially in the Moscato. In fact, I found a big article on Moscato, talking about the Moscato wines and the influence and how they're expanding, and how people are drinking a lot of Moscatos now. It's becoming a very, very popular wine again. It pops in and out, but it's very popular wine again. Another top trend looking out for 2013 is blends. California and other source red blends are expected to continue to do well. The trend is leaning towards sweeter and medium-bodied red blends that offer a range of flavors and target millennial customers in the U.S. Sweet reds are becoming extremely popular. You know, in reality, sweet reds is a contradiction of terms, in my opinion. It's like you know, jumbo shrimp, military intelligence. It just doesn't fit, simply because reds, by the nature of themselves, you tend to ferment the sugars out, and they are drier. So if you leave the sugars in it, you can have yourself a sweet red, lower alcohol. They are popular. Don't get me wrong. Sweet reds are popular, and I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about them. The sweet reds are selling well. The red are... I don't think it's going to give you hard to find vintages. I have to disagree with this comment here on this article because of the fact that they're going to be filling the kegs at the winery with the vintage that is current. They're not going to be jumping back and pouring 750ml bottles into the keg and to fill it up. It's going to be filled up at the winery as the vintages are there. If they plan on holding those vintages in the keg for a couple, 3 years until they release them, I don't know. I can't see why, but they might. Some of them with high tannins might improve, but in a keg, I don't see how it's going to improve. So, I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma within itself there. And digital information. Digital wine lists are becoming more popular, offering information, food pairings, and vineyard history to drinkers. Also, digital kayaks offer consumers quick in-store information and products such as tasting notes, food suggestions, and ratings, helping boost sales. You have your smartphone, you scan the quick code, the QR code, and it tells you all the information about that wine, or it leads you to the website, and you can look on the stuff for the website on that wine. This is becoming more and more popular. You're starting to see more and more of these QR codes all over the place because of that. And so the digital age is becoming, check my notes here, just a tad bit over a month ago, back in January, around January 17th, January 10th, one of those two shows. And it's little individual glasses of a wine packaged four high. They have the shrink wrap type packaging around them. They feature different wines. The stacked wines in the glass is now adding Cabernet Sauvignon to its list of premium wines. It already has Merlot, Chardonnay, and Pinot Grigio, and now Cabernet Sauvignon will be served in a four-pack stemless wine glass that is vertically stacked. It's equivalent to about one bottle of wine with all four of these glasses put together, but you're not pulling out a glass, you're not doing anything, but just popping it apart, peeling off the cover, and drinking your wine. A couple of issues, obviously. If you're into wine, you're going to want to swirl that wine, you want to open up the aroma, you want to get some air into it. These are actually filled to the top of the glasses, so you don't have that opportunity. If you want to pour it into another glass, that might be a good thing to do. But they are the California Cabernet Sauvignon balances the flavors of the dark fruits, the blackberries, blueberry jam, the earthiness, the wood notes, the cocoa, the pine, the cedar, all this of Merlot, Chardonnay, or Pinot Grigio is not a bad price if it's even, you know, halfway decent wine, that's still a pretty decent price. So if you see them out there, you know, grab them, give them a try, email me, let me know. I haven't had them yet. I haven't picked up any or seen any of them yet, but it seems like it might be interesting. Moscato. I just mentioned that a little bit ago, and I just want to hit on this lightly here for you. Moscato madness. I found an article that's talking about the rapid growth of this wine. It has exploded around this country. It's the Moscato in all sorts of shapes and forms too. Moscato is also being offered in a pink style. It's a white style. It's bubbly. It's being offered by lots of different people. Barefoot, Gallo, is offering Moscatos in different styles. Again, pink Moscato in the champagne style. Moscato is also appearing in the Tetra packs, the 500ml Tetra packs from the wine Bandit. These are imported from Argentina. There's also Martini Moscato d'Asti, which is an Italian Moscato d'Asti. It was introduced in the United States in the mid-2011. So it's really a big wine, powerfully sweet. It usually has a higher residual sugar. The sales of Moscato has climbed more than 70% in 2011. That's the last full year of figures that they have. 70% in 1 year. A leap of from $100 million in sales in 2009 to over $300 million just 2 years later. It's a phenomenal jump, what's happening with Moscato. People are coming in all the time now and asking if we have a Moscato or comparing wines to Moscatos and stuff. I think it's the new wine du jour. I really do think now that people are, I'd hate to say discovering it because it's been around for so long that it's not really discovered. I think people are starting to gravitate toward it. They're starting to find that it's a nice, clean, sweet wine without that heavy finish that you get on some sweet wines. And, you know, we have to admit, some sweet wines tend to bring out a very heavy finish, especially when you start getting the heavy sweet wines, you know, your ice wines, your Sauternes and stuff. The Moscato is much cleaner, much lighter than that. Australia has their series of Moscatos. Yellowtail sees Moscato sales reaching over 650,000 free. The alcohol free wines are making a Moscato. The Italian Prosecco is. A lot of Moscatos are being used in champagne-style wines out of Italy. And one good thing about the Moscato grape, it is reasonably priced. And so that's always a good thing. When you can find a wine that's popular and that people enjoy and the price is reasonable, you can't beat that. So the Moscato, it's exploding. Sutter Home has added a new pink Pinot Grigio and a red Moscato to its lineup. The new Sutter Home Pink Pinot Grigio, very similar to an off-dry rosé, is made from grapes selected from the from their California Pinot Grigio vineyards. And they said on the palate it gives sort of a strawberries and white peach balance. Now, I don't know. I you know, when they say things like white peach, I have to think, you know, I've never really had a whole lot of white peaches in my life, so it must be a special thing. So how can I compare the taste of a white peach if I'm not familiar with it? But I'm saying white peach. They said it's crisp acidity, refreshing, a tad bit off dry. The House Red Moscato combines California Moscato and Merlot. The red Moscato, they say, is rich with strawberry and cherry aromas, lingering sweet berry fruit wines from Bodegas, the largest vineyard owner in Herrera, the capital of the Rojo Alta region. The Vina Pomelo Carranza offers classic Rojo characters combined with modern oenology. Made from 100% Tempranillo, aged 12 months in American oak. Wow, that's interesting. And it is dark crimson in color with aromas and flavors of red berries, sweet spices, and soft tannins. The Zaco 2010, also made from 100% Tempranillo, offers fresh red berries, notes of licorice, and undertones of spice. Both have a suggested retail price of only $15. So cool. And then, one other celebrated chef, Wolfgang Puck, has a new wine label out. Wolfgang Puck Wines. He's added a red wine blend to his lineup of four varietal wines. He already has a Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. They will be available. Their suggested retail price, $14.99 a bottle. I've never had a Wolfgang Puck wine just because he's a chef. You know, throwing his name on it, it's what he's doing. And then the Tranchero family estates has debuted a new Echo Bay Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, made from 100% Sauvignon Blanc with the Marlborough New Zealand appellation. Suggested price of $12.99. Classic Sauvignon Blanc with cold from an international wine and spirit research recently announced that we are numero uno worldwide in wine consumption and overall sales. Here are the rankings for the overall wine consumption. United States is number one. Yay! Number two, Italy. Number three, France. Four, Germany. And five, United Kingdom. So, yay, United States. Keep it up, people. Drink those wines. It's, good for us. We're getting up there. And that's per capita. That's overall and everything. We've jumped up to be a good wine-drinking country. And that's fantastic for all of us, including the wine industry and including wine shows like this, and including wine blogs. Notice that cool segue? I went right into the wine blogs. We're going to talk about wine blogs for a little bit tonight. I found a great site that lists some wine blogs. I was reading through them today and checking them out, and there's some really nice ones here. I've shared wine blogs with you in the past, different ones out there. And let's do it again here. I'll show you some more wine blogs. These are basically the ones I've got for you here. The first list of a dozen or so, actually 15 of them, is from Australia. The first one called El Vino di Trevola. And so lists a lot of information on the wines and different things about them and all. So this is, again, the name of it is, let me move that so I can do this. The name of it is El Vino di Trevola, ILVINODATAVOLA. So you check that out if you are into Italian wines. There's another one called What I Am Drinking at the Time. This is an Australian one talking about Australian wines. This is pretty nice. I enjoyed this blog quite a bit. A lot of pictures on this one showing the different bottles and stuff. A lot of the links, he talks about the different wines, and he's got links going to the different different wineries and stuff. He talks quite a bit about the wines, and recent blogs are available on that, and a lot of them are Australian wines. Most all of them are Australian wines. Every once in a while, he pops one in there from somewhere else. But again, an interesting site, a lot of information, and a very good site, actually. Simple Palates Seriously is the next one. Simple Palates Seriously. Terrence is the one who writes this. He's a contributor to the Australian Wine Forums and is good at locating wines, international wines, and all that. His appreciation for food and wine. He does not just Australian on the reviews, though he does others. He starts out with a wine from Singapore and talks about that. He talks about a lot of food and wine pairings and talks about restaurants in Japan and all. Not just straight wine, other stuff thrown in there, and not just Australian either. He talks about wines from France and Tokyo, different places. Down. And one of the things I really liked about this site, which I thought was the absolute best thing about this, was that each wine that he reviewed, he had a map, a Google map, and he had a little point on the map showing where these wines are from, which I thought was very good. For example, he interviewed one from, let me find one here. Here's this one is from Canada, British Columbia. Okay, takes you there. That's a great feature. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Next one is My Wine Journey. This is a personal blog more than anything. But good. David Hemmings is from Sydney, New South Wales, and only 26 years old when he started out writing this blog. Now he's around 36. But he does a nice job on these because it's not a real long reviews. The reviews are short and to the point. But what they do also is they, for example, let's find one here. Let me just grab, here we go. Grant Burge Facel Saraz, 2004, from Barossa Valley, South Australia, 14.5%, corked, around $35. Now, I say corked, but that's an interesting point because quite a few of these are screw caps, and he'll tell you if it's a screw cap or a cork, and the prices and the alcohol levels, and then a short review on them, which is interesting. Interesting little quick reviews on a lot of different wines. He's got some pictures here. He shows a lot of different things on the pictures and stuff. So, and it goes back. He's got some of the favorite blogs you can go back on, all that. So, interesting site. It is called My Wine Journey from it's Australia again. Next one. Saz in the Cellar, S-A-Z, Saz in the Cellar. Steve is the person who writes this. He's a wine blogger from Australia also. His site is a lot of writing. You know, I mean, he's doing great site and a lot of fun, but, you know, I thought it was rather tedious trying to find stuff about wine and not. Next one, an English wine economist based in Adelaide. This is called Tig Chandler, T-I-G-C-H-A-N-D-L-E-R. He writes about the topics of interest in the local Australian wine industry. Nicola is her name. This is a... interesting site here. I enjoyed this one quite a bit, actually. Again, quite wordy, but and again, quite a bit of stuff other than just wine, but interesting in the fact that it trying to tie quite a bit of it together and trying to tell about all the stuff and everything. Also, one thing that I found very, very interesting in here is an interview and a section called Chinese Wine Consumption Today through the eyes of a Taichung retailer, a girl that does retailing Chinese wines and Chinese wine market and all that. And this little question and answer and talking about it and all that, very, very interesting thing. They're talking about the Chinese wines and stuff, which is really becoming big in the world. Next one, Vinyl Freakism, which he's won awards, but I don't know, it was, well, read it and let me know. I wasn't a big fan of it. Appellation, Australia is the next one here. Cam is the person's name who does this. He writes wine forums, and he's... pretty well respected in the Australian circles. The site, again, is Appellation Australia. And this site is tells a lot about food and wine pairings. Goes into how they match up well and talks a lot about food and the different foods and some rather exotic foods and wines that go with them. And then he scores the wines and talks about the wines and a lot of French wines here. And then, well, actually most of them are French wines here from what he talks about German wines and different things. But then he goes in, there's a whole section on Italian wine, so on Spanish wines. And there's just a whole bunch of different stuff here. It's a good site. It covers the world. He has a lot of
different pictures of the foods and talking about the pairings of the foods and all that stuff, rather exotic presentations of the foods. But Appalachian Australia, if you're interested in that. Next one is called Allenton's Australian Wine Reviews and Beyond. This guy has been a wine collector since the early 80s. He tastes and reviews mainly Australian wines and does a few European wines while he's at it and all that. Allenton's Australian Wine Reviews and Beyond is the name of it. Quick, easy reviews, to the point. He shows scores on them. New Zealand, Australia, he has 188 references to that. Or Tuscany, 5 references, which is nice if you're trying to find anything specific. Interesting site. I enjoyed reading through it and looking at that one. This next one is called Chris Shanahan Australian Wine and Beer Reviews. He does a lot of wine reviews, and he does a lot of beer reviews. Both of them are on the site. If you're into beers, he's got quite a few beer reviews on here. He said the Brisbane Show and the Canterbury International Riesling Challenge last year both started to do the 100-point scoring system. And it says Sydney trailed it in 2012 and intends to go whole hog this year. It says that they have settled on the 100-point scoring system. Any score in the 84 to 89 points gives them a bronze, 90 to 95, silver, 96 to 100. Gives them a gold. The system basically is replacing the 20-point system that Australia has used for years and starting to use the 100-point system now. The 20-point system, basically the same thing, only 20 points and just broken down into tighter categories as opposed to the 100-point system. But interesting article. Chris Shanahan, Australian Wine and Beer. Get a chance. It was posted on the end of January, this article on wine rating systems. Found that, don't want to go into it deeply, but found that quite interesting. Grape Observer, interesting blog of a variety of Australian and international wines. Sean Mitchell is the author of this one. The Grape Observer is taking forever to load. Here we go. Grape Observer. One thing I found interesting about this, quick, easy reviews, right to the point. He not only reviews Australian, but a lot of French, awful lot of French wines are in his reviews here. But, again, quick, to the point, gives you a score, tells about the wines, shows a little picture of them. It is great in the fact that you're not spending a whole lot of time. You can find your wine you want. You can read about it. You're done. You're out of there. Just Having a Wine. This is actually geared towards younger people. Mystery wines, low GI Syrah summer wines. This is a assorted reviews of Australian wines. He goes into a lot of different things, talks about, has videos about wine, talks about barrels, has links to stuff, all sorts of different things, French, Italian, Australian, desserts, cocktails, just a variety of things, wine mousse, M-U-S-E. Wine will eat itself. This is another one here from Australia. Pretty nice review. This reviews the wines, a little short review, gives a score. Also, it has listed the region it's from, the alcohol level, the closure, the price, and the date it was tasted. And it also gives a link on each of the wines reviewed to the website of the wine, which I enjoyed. It talks about those too. But an interesting site, easy to read, quick read. You're not spending a whole lot of time on each wine dissecting it or anything. And it's always nice to have someone give their opinion on a wine as opposed to just reading the back label, because that sometimes can be misleading. New Zealand has a couple of three blogs or a couple of blogs. Lady Parker, New Zealand Wine Reviews on her on videos, and she also has a whole section on beer and talking about beer and wine and food pairings and just a bunch of stuff on here. Lady Parker is out of New Zealand, and if you're not from New Zealand, not from the United States, it's always fun to listen to the accent while she's talking too. Wine Notes by Gary Bowring. This is also one out of New Zealand. This is just basically what he said, wine notes. He's tasted wines. He's made notes on them. Does quick scores and stuff. A little bit information on each one. Narrows it down. A lot of Australian and New Zealand wines that he reviews. Then we've got some international blogs that you might be interested in here. The Wine Cask blog. This is a U.S.-based wine blog run by three guys who write reviews as a hobby. And it's a combination that makes some nicely balanced reviews and interesting reading. It is good. I found this very informative, very interesting. Some quick reviews. They weren't real long, nice list of archives on the side, so you can go back and check out some others. Not just United States, but everywhere. Wine reviews from all over. They've got French in here. They've got Australia. They've got United States. They've got Italy, all sorts of stuff. The Wine Cask blog is what it's called, an interesting blog. The Nice Drinks in Life. It is, well, what is nice drinks in life? Wine, but also coffees and teas. So this goes into reviews of not just wine, but also other stuff, coffees and teas. The archive regions are listed under all those categories too, coffees, tea, and then Wine Folly. It's just a nice site here, Wine Folly. It's has a whole bunch of information on there. It's new to wine. It gives you wine basics. You can click on Wine Enthusiasts, the secrets revealed, posters and maps. There's some great posters I love to have on there. They have all sorts of different things available on this site. A nice nice presentation overall. The site is really quite quite well put together. It's got videos that you can click on. It's got information. It's got all sorts of stuff. A lot of information. This is a good read. Talks about wines from everywhere. And people are just on the prowl for good wines, and they tell you about the ones that they find. So just a very good site, just a nice site. So get an opportunity. Those are ones that you really should check out. A lot of those are fun sites and just really interesting sites. Another thing I want to talk about right now, that's all for the blogs, but another thing I want to talk about right now is, and this last thing here is, Steuben grapes. We've mentioned Steuben grapes before, and when I was talking about and to Castle Ridge Winery up in Iowa. Castle Ridge Winery does Steuben along with a lot of other grapes. I bought one of their Steuben wines, and actually every time during the show I try to enjoy a different wine to pair with the show. Well, tonight was the Steuben from Castle Ridge Winery in Iowa. Interesting wine. The Steuben grape. Let me tell you a little bit. Well, not tell you. Let me read you a little bit about the Steuben. The Steuben grape. The Steuben grape is used a lot for juice. It makes for great jelly and stuff. It's a common description of the Steuben grape is that grape juice was a kick. It's a native hybrid Labrusca, Vitis Labrusca, similar to the Concord grape. The Steuben produces mild, grapey red wine with a light, foxy feel. Now, I'm having one. It's a light wine. Almost, it's not really red. Pop out. And as did the, I've got a blank. What? Cherry and apple. Apple. Yeah, apple. I didn't get the cinnamon. They suggested hints of cinnamon. I wasn't picking up cinnamon, but I was the cherry and the hints of apple in there. Good wine. They do an excellent job on it, but that foxy finish, that comes there. You can actually detect it. But the Steuben, created at the New York State Agricultural Experiment Station in Geneva, New York, and it was released in 1947. Steuben is a cross between the Wayne and Sheridan grapes. This grape is very popular in the eastern and midwestern regions of the United States, and in particular, Indiana. Now, I don't know why they said Indiana on this particular article here, but they, you know, we talked in Indiana. I don't remember a whole lot being said about Steuben. And then it goes on and starts talking about the Indiana wine industry here. Maybe this site is basically an Indiana site. I don't know. No, it just says Wine Compass blog. So maybe it is from. But the Steuben grape is not noted for its acidity, very low acid. And it's obvious in this, a little bit more acid, I think, would be nice. I would like to have a bit more acid in it, which would give you that little bite. And slip skin, they said it's rather, the skin is slightly astringent and acidic, which doesn't bring it out in the grape. The flesh is a little tough. The average weight on the berries, the clusters are medium to large. And they describe the Steuben vine as very vigorous, productive, good trailing habits. It is moderately susceptible to black rot and different other things, as is most grapes are in the high humidity of the Midwest and Northeast and stuff. Wine characteristics on this side here says an aromatic wine, white, blush, or rosé. It tends to run low in soluble solids at 19.8 Brix, which is a little low for picking, somewhat low in pH and low acidity. So that's the Steuben grape. Interesting grape, though. If you get a chance, grab yourself a Steuben. Midwest, basically, it's hardy to minus 15 to minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's why it is so well received in that part of the world. But I'm enjoying the glass now. It is very good and quite enjoyable. I recommend, if you get a chance, grab yourself a Steuben wine and give it a try. And I'm going to end it there tonight. We've covered a bunch of stuff, and
Wow.
Bunch of me, I'm trying to get a guest on.
Well, no. Yeah.
Need a guest.
Gives you a little bit of break, but
yeah. It gives me a break. Yeah, that's yes. It. Yeah.
If you would like to be a guest on the program, please email the show. It is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That should be easy enough to remember. Go to the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr, and you can put in a little thing in there like, hey, I know something about wine, or I just want to talk about wine, and we'll get in touch with you about how to be on the show. And don't forget, to save you from having to call, we can call you, and that puts it on us. So it's not a big deal. We can put you on the air, and we'll make the call. If you're overseas, the best thing for you to do is get Skype, and we will put you on the air with Skype. So do that, and we will figure that out.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. You don't, yeah. Anything, I mean, if you're a wine blogger, or, you know, we've had lawyers on that were wine, we've had climatologists that did grapes, we've had anything that deals with wine. If you're a senator or a representative out there who thinks that we should pass some of these idiotic laws, we'd like to get you on too and ask you why. You know, I mean, you know, we're not going to, you know, criticize you on it. Well, I'll do my best to, but you know, just why? I mean, you know, so
It's an open discussion. It's an open discussion, and you know, we do ask that it pertains to wine, you know, the industry in some form. That's the only, because it is a wine show. We don't want to talk about flying kites or what you did on vacation last year, unless it, of course, it's visited a winery. It would be cool if you, you know, visited a winery. You know, contact us and let us know. And yeah, we'd definitely put you on there. And for somebody in the wine industry or with a wine related business, it's good advertising because you get put on our website. You're on our Twitter feed, on Facebook. And now we're just kind of talking to each other. Now it's like, okay.
Okay.
Whoops.
Thanks for listening. Hope we do.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we'd end the show and it was like, okay, well, we'll see you next week. You know, but
yeah,
you know,
really.
Oh my gosh. We have people out there.
Worldwide,
you reach a worldwide audience. And like you said, you know, if you're on the other side of the movement, such as the, what is it? Distributors, I guess, are behind.
Right.
You know, they're fighting it. You know, we want to hear your side because we've heard from wineries. We've heard from like freethegrapes.org, different organizations like that and people. And, you know, we've heard their side of it, and that's great. But, you know, if you oppose the wine shipping and the legislations that's, you know, trying to go through restricting wineries from basically having a business, call us so we can get your
they're doing
local business and that's great, they're doing local business, but
let us know why. I mean, we want to know your reasonings behind it. I mean, you know, and you know it's not, you know, so we can yell and scream at you. It's just that we want to know why, you know, and let people know out there why. Maybe you have a legitimate reason that maybe people should consider.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So contact us, allaboutwine101@gmail.com, Facebook, and, you know, we'll go from there. And again, you know, some of the topics we covered tonight, if you're in a wine blog, you have a wine blog, which we talked about several of them tonight, you know, let us know. Maybe we missed yours or something. There seem to be a lot of Australian ones. But
They, you know,
contact
us.
Yeah,
and maybe there's a lot of them around that we just didn't cover. So if you listen to this and you have a wine blog, let us know.
Yeah.
Well, happy to get you on the air even. You can talk about your blog and what your basis and all that. You know, it'd be fun to talk to wine bloggers.
Yep. And we had a wine judge, didn't we? Yeah, we had a wine.
Yes, we did. Yes.
That was interesting. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That was interesting. That was fun.
Yeah.
That really was.
So we run the gamut of whatever has to do with wine industry. And sometimes we get off a little bit, but like we're talking about the wine or weather. Right now it's 73.
Beautiful.
Just saying that.
73 degrees. Yeah.
Arkansas had snow. Arizona had snow.
Missouri.
And people were out at the beach in the sun today. So that was pretty cool.
Yes, they were. I did a little bit of mowing today and a little yard work.
Did you say shoveling snow? Oh, no, mowing. Okay, yeah.
Drink music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Winefest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Winefest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Winefest.
There you go, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. Be there. The weather's going to be fantastic. If you're snowed under right now, this is a great time to come to Florida because we don't really know what that stuff is. We don't get it down here. Come out. It's going to be nice and warm. I'm showing 88 degrees for the high, 66 for the low, partly cloudy, sunny on Saturday. Come on out and enjoy it. Patrick Foy is going to be providing the live entertainment. You can have a glass of wine, relax. It's family-friendly, pet-friendly. It's going to be fantastic. And you can also have an informative wine tasting. It's very enjoyable with Ron himself at the event. So, you know, come on down. There's going to be a lot of vendors. There's going to be a lot of great shopping to do. And don't forget, the holidays are right around the corner. Oh.
The holidays?
What? Let's see. Month is February.
That's how they, yeah. You know, the raffles and all that stuff. Great organization. I mean,
yeah.
The Raffle Rescue is really, really.
I got her brochure somewhere around here last time. I told her when I met her last time, I said, don't put a raffle ticket. I just want to donate and I want to get a brochure. So I got a brochure. It's very, very cool what they do. And definitely go out there and meet up with the Raffle Rescue. It's fantastic. Very cool. And you know, it's $1 each or six for $5 for tickets. And you might win a really cool prize. It looks like the total prize value is $210. Wow. That's amazing.
And if you don't win, you're still putting the money to a great cause. So it's just it's a double good thing there.
Yep, absolutely. Come on out. There's like I said, there's going to be a lot there and a lot of cool shopping. And it's a great environment underneath the oak trees out back. It's not bad at all. It's going to be a great time. So do that. And while you're there, the tip jar. Let's see. You had a good turnout for the tip jar last time.
Yep.
I'm going to back to the top here. Do a little bit for the tip jar as well. It goes to a great cause every month, and you want to do that. So definitely go there, and before you leave, add a little something to the tip jar and help out a great cause.
The tip jar is something we're very proud of, and it works because people out there are contributing, and it's great. Thanks everyone, whoever participates. Yeah. It's a great thing.
Very cool. All right, and let's see. So that we'll do that, and I believe next week is February 28th. We will be on again at 7 p.m. Stay tuned to either the website, which just has pretty much the Facebook feed, or you can go to Facebook and follow the show there. Ron posts information when we have it, when he gets a guest available for the shows, and let you know ahead of time what's going to happen. So stay tuned to the Facebook page. You don't have to log in or anything. You can view it without having to have an account or without.
Yes.
Just send us an email when you're here. And
when you're back. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we'll close the show down. Whatever. You know what? We should just one Thursday. We should just sit here and go, okay, we're just going to sit back and not say anything until somebody calls.
Somebody calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody
or
calls.
Or sends an email. Or sends an email.
Or sends an email.
Yep. So.
And that'll probably be the best rated show that we ever did.
Audio issues, and when we just sit here and don't say anything, that's when it,
That's when it works, yeah.
We'll look forward to seeing you all next week. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm going to do the theme song, and we'll be...
Everybody dance.
There you go. Yep. Nope, not that
one. The show's over.
Oh, that one's down at the bottom. Why is that one down at the bottom? No wonder I hit the wrong one. Okay, here we go. No. Here we go. Okay.
Ah.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show. And thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.